It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up later this hour, we'll learn why Americans are getting nearly 60% of their daily calories from ultra-processed foods and what we can do about it.
First, we're looking at yesterday's deadly terrorist attacks in Belgium through a political lens. Yesterday morning, there were three explosions in Brussels, two at the airport, one at the metro station, close to the political center of the European Union. At least 31 people were killed and scores were injured. The Syria-based terrorist organization ISIS released a statement claiming responsibility for the attacks.
U.S. presidential candidates on the left and the right are responding to the attacks and making public statements. Here's a clip of Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton in a phone interview with the Today Show yesterday in the immediate aftermath of the attacks.
Terrorists are trying to undermine the democratic values that are at the root of our way of life. We cannot let them succeed. So we have to, intensify our efforts to keep America safe and to work with our friends and allies.
Lily Gorin joins us now to talk about the political fallout of the terrorist attacks. She's a professor of political science at Carroll University. Lily, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on this afternoon.
Sure. So we just heard Hillary Clinton pledging to work with friends and allies. What else has she said about these attacks?
She has said basically that she made a 3-point plan that she articulated this afternoon in a speech, I believe, where she's talking about, essentially continuing the efforts in Iraq and Syria to take back the sort of space that ISIS has taken over there. She's talked about collaborating in intelligence with our allies. To some degree, perhaps ratcheting up a bit more some of the things that the Obama administration is already doing with regard to the threat from ISIS.
In celebrating her win in Arizona last night, Clinton also said at a rally there that the last thing we need are leaders who incite more fear.
In the face of terror, America doesn't panic. We don't build walls or turn our backs on our allies. We can't throw out everything we know about what works and what doesn't and start torturing people. What Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, and others are suggesting is not only wrong, it's dangerous.
So is Hillary Clinton using comments and statements like that maybe to solidify her support among Democrats who might otherwise be supporting Bernie Sanders?
I mean, I think that she's playing to, a lot of the things that she sees and that her campaign is profiling as her strengths, that, she does have a lot of experience dealing with allies, that she has, that she was in the Senate on a number of committees that dealt with issues around terrorism. She was in New York at the time of the 9/11 bombings, that she was Secretary of State and so forth. And so she's articulating through some of her pronouncements and her speeches that, this is the trajectory that she would follow. It's substantially different in at least, the broad contours from what Bernie Sanders has also said.
So in situations like this, where there is an international crisis, international violence, do voters tend to then value more heavily experience that people have, like Hillary Clinton having been a Secretary of State and serving in the Senate?
I think some voters do and some voters don't. I mean, part of it is also what is being articulated by other candidates. And so you have somebody like Donald Trump who may have dealt with foreign entities or foreign leaders, but he hasn't dealt with them particularly in a national security context. But there's a lot of appeal in terms of what he says to a lot of the folks who are supporting Donald Trump, who look at Hillary Clinton and don't think perhaps that she would be tough enough.
And we will move on, certainly, to talk about Donald Trump and the people that are also running for the Republican nomination. But has Bernie Sanders said anything specific about these terror attacks that differentiate him from candidate Clinton?
Well, I think what Sanders did, I think, quickly say yesterday was that, you know, we are at war, and we are not at war, but we are in a conflict with radicalism, with terrorism, but that we are not in a conflict with a religion. And to characterize it as such is what he said was essentially inappropriate or incorrect.
So let's move to the Republican side and to what businessman Donald Trump and Texas Senator Ted Cruz have said after the attacks. Here's a clip of Donald Trump from the Today Show just after the attacks. He's responding to a question about whom he would let in the country now.
Well, I would exclude the people coming in from Syria that don't have documentation, coming in from the migration line, that interestingly have cell phones in many cases. But you say, how did they get the cell phones and where do they get their bills paid? I would certainly exclude those people from coming in.
So Donald Trump has been making consistently throughout his campaign comments about Muslims and allowing Muslims into the country. In the wake of attacks like Brussels, do you think that those views might be seen as more socially acceptable, given that there is now this event that can be pointed to?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, it's the voters to whom he was appealing or making his appeal in the first place who, in all the polls that I've seen, have a much higher degree of interest in or willingness to exclude people from the country or exclude specifically Muslims from the country, not even specifically Syrians, but Muslims in general. And those, you know, that sort of there's the folks who are looking at Donald Trump as their candidate, that sort of assertion and argument is one that's very appealing to his base of voters.
Now, Donald Trump has also said that he would torture terrorist suspects to try and get information that he thinks would allow him as president to keep the nation safer. Does that help him as a candidate, especially in the wake of newer attacks?
It may. Again, the issue of torture is one that is controversial, and it's controversial also across party lines. John McCain has spent a lot of time in the Senate advocating and, you know, pushing for legislation that would prohibit the use of torture. And he was critical of the George W. Bush administration with regard to it. So I think that, again, there isn't sort of broad-based we should torture or we shouldn't torture. But I think that, again, Trump is appealing to or trying to sort of argue for a position that, you know, is strong and decisive. And the lines are very clearly marked out in the way that he's making his statement. You know, we won't allow Syrians in that don't have documentation, that have cell phones or who have cell phones. We won't allow Muslims in who aren't U.S. citizens. That there's a lot of sort of bright lines and clarity with regard to what he's saying that is not always executable with regard to policy in conjunction with the United States Constitution.
We're talking with political scientist Lily Gorin now about the political fallout of yesterday morning's terrorist attacks in Brussels and how those attacks might affect the U.S. presidential race later this year.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What would you like to hear the candidates say in response to these terrorist attacks? And which candidate do you think would be the best one to handle a situation like this? And what do you think about how the presidential candidates are reacting to the situation in Brussels? Call now at 800-642-1234, and you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're picking up our conversation now about how the terrorist attacks yesterday morning in Brussels will affect the presidential race later this year.
And we'd like to hear from you, too, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you think about what the candidates are saying or not saying about yesterday's attacks? What would you like to hear them say in order to maybe win over your vote? And which candidate do you think is best suited to handle a situation like the one yesterday in Belgium? How do you think the U.S. should respond, if at all? Call now, 800-642-1234, or you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. While making our way through the Republican candidates, Ted Cruz said that we have to empower law enforcement to patrol and secure Muslim neighborhoods before they become radicalized. What do you make of that comment, Lily Gorin?
Well, I'm not exactly sure how you do that without some substantial profiling, and the New York Police Department has responded that this isn't really the way of going about things. John Kasich, who's also running for the Republican nomination, has, you know, criticized Ted Cruz for this sort of assertion yesterday. And when I myself heard it, I was kind of perplexed by exactly what would constitute a Muslim neighborhood.
And so do you think that Cruz is trying to ramp up his rhetoric to match Trump, since it seems, at least on some level, to be resonating for Trump?
I mean, I guess in some capacity he is. I mean, he's sort of taken a path that is, you know, more defining Ted Cruz than it is sort of taking on Donald Trump throughout the campaign. He hasn't necessarily got into a lot of clashes with Trump. He's just sort of argued that he's, a conservative, and he's more traditionally conservative, and that he has a clear sort of ideology that he's following. But I do think that in this context, he and Trump in particular are making pretty sort of bold statements with regard to, you know, sort of Fortress America.
So Ted Cruz has also made comments that are critical of Donald Trump's response to these attacks, specifically accusing Trump of wanting the U.S. to pull out of NATO. Why do you think Cruz is taking that approach in criticizing Donald Trump?
Again, he's probably trying to distinguish himself in terms of, you know, that Cruz would be, presidential, and that in a certain sense, if Trump is threatening to, you know, change our alliances, particularly longstanding ones like NATO that came out of the Cold War, that doesn't necessarily reflect the United States as a superpower and the military strength that we have.
So there is John Kasich, Ohio governor, and the third Republican candidate still running. And he also had something to say.
You know, we are not at war with Islam. We're at war with radical Islam. We're going to need to have a coalition of people, both Arab Muslims, who are going to join the coalition to destroy ISIS.
And so John Kasich has at times really struggled to kind of get the same level of attention and media coverage that his two rivals have been getting. Why do you think he's taking this particular position?
Well, I think it's probably one that he agrees with. I mean, I given that he came out and criticized Ted Cruz for what he said with regard to patrolling Muslim neighborhoods, that Kasich is defining himself to some degree in the vein of somebody like George W. Bush or George Herbert Walker Bush, is a Republican president who is making alliances with our international partners, that sort of understand the sort of multidimensional nature of this kind of threat. And he's right to, you know, sort of point to the fact that in order to defeat ISIS, it can't just be European countries and the United States. It also has to be Americans' allies in the Middle East, who are, in fact, Arabs and Muslims, to help defeat this radicalized group.
We have Lynn in Milwaukee on the line, so let's go to the phone. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling because the whole question of today's show sort of makes me sad. We just look at this tragedy through our own self-centered, narcissistic American lens. Like, how does it affect us? How does this tragedy, you know, the loss of so many lives, the devastation, the security of a nation, so many people affected so brutally and so personally, and we look at it through our lens of, well, how does this affect our presidential campaigns at the moment? It just makes me a little bit sad that we're thinking in terms of how does it affect us. I'd rather think about how it's affecting, how ISIS is affecting Europe and the people in Europe, not to say that we shouldn't be concerned for our own selves, of course.
Thanks for that call, Lynn. And Lily, is it because of the U.S. stature on the international stage that things like this really do play out in our presidential campaigns and elections?
Yes, I mean, part of it is, as you know, the caller mentioned, that we have a tendency to pay attention to what we're in the midst of, and we in the United States are in the midst of this very tumultuous presidential election. But, you know, even you on Wisconsin Public Radio, you all did a show yesterday that was on, you know, sort of what happened on the ground, what was going on in Europe, what's the situation in Belgium. And so the fact that all of the presidential candidates in the United States had something to say about the attack in Belgium also brings it into the campaign itself. And it does start to define the sort of decisions or potential decisions that one of these people who will likely be the next president of the United States is sort of good to know what they're also thinking in response to these kinds of attacks.
So these attacks happened certainly not at the beginning of the presidential primary season, but we still do have contests on both sides for the Republicans and the Democrats. Do you think that on some level, Lily, this is getting talked about more and people are being judged on what they're saying about these attacks because we are still in the primary? Would it be different if it happened closer to the general election?
Oh, I think that if it happened during the general election, it would again be a question of how the candidates respond, what they propose that they would do in reaction to this. I mean, you can look back at you know, like the economic downturn in 2008 and what both John McCain and Barack Obama as candidates at the time were asked and said specifically with regard to the economic implosion that transpired in September and October before the general, you know, before the election in November. So I think that regardless of when it happens, it still becomes a question of also how you evaluate the candidates and their decisions. What, you know, what would somebody who is, you know, President Clinton or President Cruz, what would they do in response to a terrorist attack either in the United States or in, you know, in a country where we have allies or in places that we don't even pay quite as much attention to? You know, there have been these bombings in Ankara, Turkey recently too.
And President Obama has been making the case that his strategy against ISIS is slowly working. Do you think the attacks yesterday in Belgium negate that argument or make it harder for him to make it?
Well, I mean, it's a multi-pronged approach, and it's also one where, you know, the United States is not necessarily sort of saying, well, we've killed these many people or we've eliminated this kind of threat, as all of the candidates and particularly the president, both W. Bush and Obama, have said since 9/11, this is a war where you don't know when you're going to win it exactly. And it morphs into a variety of different sort of zones. And so his approach has been to, you know, sort of go after the terrorists where they have the most strength, which is in Syria and Iraq. But it's also to collaborate with our allies in terms of intelligence in Europe and in the United States to try to prevent these kinds of attacks. But the next move in the Middle East would be to have a substantial ground force. And all of the polls that I've seen of late, there isn't all that much support in the United States for a lot of U.S. soldiers to go into Iraq and Syria to try to defeat ISIS on the ground.
So President Obama is less than a year out from being done with his tenure as president. Do you think that because he is not having to worry about whether he'll be elected for another term and his vice president isn't running, if he can kind of stay the course that he has laid out for dealing with ISIS and other threats of terrorism despite these attacks. Whereas maybe if he was running for re-election, he might feel like he would have to ramp up his anti-terrorism platform.
I don't know that it necessarily would be distinct from what he's done as president or what he did in his first term. I mean, this is both one of the assets and one of the sort of perpetual critiques with regard to Barack Obama is that he is kind of this, you know, much more cerebral and also to some degree patient in a certain sense with regard to this policy. And, you know, John McCain and Lindsey Graham were calling yesterday for ground troops, a big allocation of ground troops to go into Syria and Iraq on this. We have been having these, you know, bombing campaigns for quite some time that have taken out, I think, over 10,000 ISIS enemies. But again, it's sort of like there isn't necessarily more bombing that could be done without it necessarily hitting a lot more civilians. And so that's the Obama administration's approach. And I'm not necessarily sure if they would change it at this point. Because it's doing what they think they need to do. But again, I don't know that that would necessarily change if he were running for re-election, because this is the same approach that he's laid out sort of as he was a candidate as well.
Lily, thanks so much for being with us.
Sure.
That was Lily Gorin, professor of political science at Carroll University, talking about the presidential candidate's responses to the terrorist attacks.